Rogers, El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Now, I did promise, when we got rid of, I shouldn't say got rid of.
That man has a mental, there's a mental issue, and I think it needs.
Yeah, he's.
Hold on, I'm not done yet, bud.
Hold on, bud.
God, you know what's wrong?
I'm not done. There's nothing wrong. I just didn't finish saying what I wanted to say. I was going to say yay. Okay.
Yes, Margaret, we're.
Never mind.
Margaret, just because I said.
Never mind.
Just because I said that we've got time limitations.
Never mind.
Every time you don't get your way, you go to the bathroom, you go get a cigarette.
Never mind.
Yes, she means never mind.
That's exactly what I mean.
All right. Well, I will complete your thought for you then, Margaret.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. Art Griego is a bizarre, weird ass.
That was not... Now I'm going to... That was not my thought. Now I'm going...
To the toilet.
To the toilet.
All right, so anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch. We're online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, and with that, you will get access to live streaming video of the show, as well as our audio library, all kinds of stuff. It's really cool. Get a backstage pass. We also have two podcasts now. We have our regular Phil Hendry Show podcast, which is interesting things from our archives. That podcast, by the way, I don't know how much longer we're going to have it.
What? Well, I've got a lot of people going to be upset.
Well, you know. No, I think that the one that we're excited about, the Bobby Dooley podcast, and then more to come as we continue. But the Bobby Dooley podcast right now, I think it was number 15 on the iTunes comedy podcast. Don't tell Bobby it's in the comedy file.
What?
I don't think she knows it's comedy. And we will have Bobby on this hour to talk a little bit about the podcast, the two-hour Joel McHale special coming up with Bobby Dooley and Joel McHale going at it. Now, I had said that I was going to read to you a list here of the top sports franchises in the world in terms of value, and we're going to do just that. I think that what we need, though, is someone who might know Wall Street a little bit or at least know how to assess these things. I don't really know. How, you know, I'm not exactly sure how this is done, and let's get, not that he knows Wall Street, but let's get on Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier to talk to us a little bit. Doug, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good. You say not that I know Wall Street. I did do some financial reporting, so I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm looking into different things, different aspects of news, what I do. That's what I do. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm a gay man, gay journalist. Okay?
All right, I understand that. Are you familiar with the relative value of sports franchises?
I am familiar with the relative value of sports franchises. As a matter of fact, I could tell you the Manchester United, which you had just mentioned, Phil, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I heard that Manchester United had been the number one rated sports franchise in the world in terms of value. And I put a call in to my friend Josh Biggin, who is with the Manchester Bugle. I forget the name of the paper. I think it's the Manchester Bugle or something.
The Manchester Bugle. Look up, Bud.
Well, it's not the Bugle, no. It's the Manchester. It's got a name. It's like the Manchester Daily Blab or something.
What do you mean the Daily Blab?
I don't know the name of it, Phil, all right? Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That doesn't mean I know the name of the daily paper in Manchester, England. I think it's the Bugle or the Daily Blab or the Daily Blabbermouth.
Well, it's not going to be the Daily Blabbermouth. That's something out of a cartoon.
Oh, you're back from the toilet. I listen religiously, Margaret, just to see how often you go to the can.
Oh, I got to kill it.
Hold on.
I'm serious, Margaret. It's one of the most entertaining moments of my night, just to listen to you get upset.
Is that right? So you think that I'm just a big child and I leave every time I don't get my way and go to the...
Did you say to the ballroom?
No, to the I didn't say ballroom at all.
Well, it sounded like you were going to say you go to the ballroom, and that's not where you go to the toilet.
Yeah, that's pretty expensive.
Shut up, bud.
She didn't say ballroom, said bathroom.
I know she said bathroom, okay?
Why are you making fun of her?
Hey, Robert, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
Well, look, I'm a black man, and you're making fun of a woman. I mean, so that's three minority right there.
That's three what?
That three minority right there. You gay, I'm black, she's female.
Thank you very much, Robert.
You know what I'm saying? You have to have some respect.
Hey, have some respect for me. I'm gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
I don't give a damn you gay. You have to have respect for the lady.
All right, look, I've had about enough of this. Back off, Robert.
He's defending me, Phil.
I understand that. I'll deal with any of the hurt feelings of anybody around here.
How do you laugh? How about that? Coming at me? You know, I'm a gay man and a gay...
I know you're gay man, gay journalist. I'm just saying, have a little respect.
Back the hell off, will you?
Hey, you know what, Phil? I'm gay.
You know what the next guy that's going to walk out of here? Me. That's who's walking out of here next.
What'd he do?
Well, what do you think he did? He hung up.
Is that, what is that supposed to mean, goodbye?
What?
He said, I'm gay, and hung up.
I don't think Doug ever misses a chance to say that. That's what I think is going on there. Unbelievable with that guy, huh?
Well, you know something, man? Listen to that guy giving her a hard time. I think I have my respect.
Get his butt out. It's none of your beeswax.
Why don't you shut up? Hey.
Throw a hand, man.
I'll throw a hand. I'll throw down.
No, you're not going to throw down. So, all right, fine. So we're going to get into this story without Doug, I guess.
He's back.
You know something? I'm getting real tired of these people calling back.
I'm sorry. Doug?
Listen, Phil, if you don't mind, I better not say it.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, but I didn't mean it racially, and I know you were going to take it racially.
What were you going to say?
I was going to ask Phil if he wouldn't mind keeping you on a leash, but I'm sure you're going to take that to mean some sort of a monkey thing.
Yeah, he probably would, right?
You know something, man? If you were here, you'd be there. You know what I mean by that?
If I was there, I'd be here.
No, if you were here, you'd be there.
What does that mean?
It means I would hit you so hard, you'd leave here, and you'd be back there.
Yee-hoo! That's hard, man. And then, yowie!
Shut your hole.
If anybody else hits anybody else...
You know what? I don't need this. I'm gay.
Well, you look like you're going to cry.
I think I am going to cry.
Mr. I don't want to make you cry or anything. Just
button up. Anything else happens in the show tonight, I'm going to walk out of here. That is a promise from me to you. All right. Where were we? Ah, yes. We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment from all the screwing around. You know what, Phil? I'm gay. Click.
Well, now you're laughing. I think he's hysterical.
Michelle, are you all right?
Phil, you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm just,
Well, you're good. I'm fine.
I'm just laughing at that ridiculous asinine exchange there. God almighty, Robert, you and Margaret and him, and you get into this big thing, and you're all members of a minority group, and you're yelling at each other, and blows me away. All right, of the top 10 teams in sports in terms of worth, value, number 10 is a soccer team called Arsenal. They're valued at $1.29 billion. They're owned by a guy named Stan Kroenke. Arsenal has won the second most FA Cups, just one fewer than Manchester United. Match day revenue of $150 million in 2011 was fourth highest among soccer teams. The Gunners, that's their nickname. Commercial revenue was $74 million in 2011, but got a boost last season due to new sponsorship agreements with Carlsberg and Betsson, the gaming company. Dig that, huh?
And this is, what is this again?
That's a soccer team.
That's a soccer team. Arsenal. And I believe Arsenal is located in London. When you hear these teams like Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea, there's about five pro soccer teams in London.
What? They only got two football teams in L.A.
They don't have no football in L.A.
Or where do they have two?
They've got two teams in New York. They got two in the Bay Area. I mean, the idea, in other words, of five teams in Los Angeles. But it's a different vibe, man. Soccer... football in England and the rest of Europe, the club followings are very intense. So that's number nine. That's number 10. The ninth most valuable team in all of sports, the New York Giants, the football team of the National Football League. The New York Giants are number nine. They're worth $1.3 billion. Of course, they're owned by John Mara, Steve Tisch. The Giants celebrated their second Super Bowl title in five seasons in February of 2012, led by Eli Manning. MetLife acquired naming rights to the new Meadowlands Stadium last year, filling a glaring hole.
What's wrong with you?
What?
You're all like...
I didn't do that. I went because I didn't know what the word was.
Well, it did sound like you were having a moment there. You went... And I said to Robert, I didn't mean this. I said, get a pan.
Yeah, I had to get a pan.
Get a pan for what?
Drool.
Oh, don't act like you don't know what we're saying.
Get a pan for drool. All right, let's take a break. I can't take it anymore.
I won't be laughed at, though.
I'm not laughing at you. I can't believe this show tonight. And right out of a three-day weekend, and we're starting out like this. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Durant Show. Brennan.
Read about the New York Giants, and nobody wants to listen to what I got to say. Except
this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here. All right, where are we? So we're working from number 10 to number 1, the most valuable sports franchises in the world. Now, I already gave you number 1 because it was a headline for several weeks. Manchester United is the most valuable sports franchise in the world, valued at somewhere in the... I'll give you the exact number when we get to it, but it's somewhere close to $4 billion, and this is a Premier League soccer team in England. So now we're working back. Number 10 was Arsenal. They're also a Premier League soccer team in England.
Yeah, you said Arsenal come from where?
They're from London. That's one of four or five London area soccer teams. Number 9 is the New York Giants. Now, Arsenal was $1.29 billion. The New York Giants at number 9 are valued at $1.3 billion. A lot of that money coming from a naming deal that they signed, that the Meadowlands signed with MetLife, which was around $7 million starting in 2010, but it's supposed to go up as high as $16 million a year over 25 years. And so that's stuff that, you know, you factor in when you're talking about a team's relative value. How much money have they got? How much money have they got to work with? The 8th most valuable team in the world is from Spain. It's Barcelona. Barcelona plays in the Spanish league. They're worth $1.31 billion. The owner of this team, it's interesting, says club members.
Club members, that's interesting.
Is that like a country club?
I don't know. I would think, if reading that, I'd say it was the team members, but that can't be. Barcelona has won, well, maybe it is.
Maybe that if you want to play for Barcelona, you have to buy part of the team.
Oh, that's great. So that means you're not necessarily getting the best players. You're not getting the best players, just getting players with money? No. Barcelona has won two, and they're a good team. They've won two European Champion League titles over the past four seasons, riding the golden feet of Lionel Messi.
What's the European League?
It's the European League, man. What do you mean, what's the European League?
Yeah, but don't they play also in the Spain League?
Yeah, they play in a Spain League. They play in a UE. Here, let me see that for a minute.
Get at it. Don't grab it out of my hand.
That's what she said.
Hey, bud, you know...
That's what she said is so old.
Better get it in.
UEF, United Europe Federal, I don't know what the hell it is.
United Europe Federal Ass.
Yeah, right, United Federal Ass.
Bud, stop it. All right, the golden feet of Lionel Messi, Barca's home stadium, Camp Nou, Barcelona, has the biggest seating capacity of top European teams, 99,400. Wow.
Man, they got 99,000 people?
That's almost 100.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a big, and they pack it too. 99,000. The team's broadcasting revenue. Get this, their broadcasting revenue is $266 million. It was $266 million in 2011. God, that's $266 million in one season. They're getting just from the broadcast rights.
Well, they love their football over there, whatever they call it. They call it the football. That was what I wanted. It's football.
Well, no, you said it was football.
No, what is wrong with you?
You did say that, Ms. Gray. You said it football.
Yeah, you said it like you're having a stroke.
I'm not having a stroke. What did I say?
You said F-U-T-B-O-L.
Oh, yeah, the proper pronunciation, yes. is football or football.
Football.
Yes. Don't you laugh at me, damn you.
Margaret, you know, if I feel like laughing, I'm going to laugh. All right, that's number eight, Barcelona. They are worth $1.31 billion. They're owner club members. I wonder what that means. Must be maybe the team players. I don't know. The number seventh most valuable team in the world, the most seventh most valuable franchise in the world at $1.4 billion. Here's a little hint. It's owned by Robert Kraft. Who is it, bud?
It's owned by who?
Robert Kraft, worth $1.4 billion. They are the seventh most valuable franchise in the world.
It's Kraft. It's
like Kraft cheese?
Kraft cheese? That's not a team.
Well, they could be a sponsor.
No, Robert Kraft is it's the New England Patriots.
I'd never have made the connection.
I'm sorry. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots. The Patriots, the sixth most valuable. Did I say seven? Oh, they're tied. Aha. We had a couple of ties there, fans. That's why I made that mistake. The New England Patriots, I believe, are tied with somebody else. Yeah, they're tied with another team, so there is effectively no number seven, but they're the sixth most valuable team at $1.4 billion. The Patriots are one of the NFL's best-run organizations. They have sold out every game at Gillette Stadium since it opened in 2002. They made the playoffs 8 of the past 9 years. Their quarterback is just the second quarterback after John Elway to lead his team to the Super Bowl 5 times. Brady's last trip to the Super Bowl ended in disappointment, of course, when they, last against the the New York Giants. But they are the sixth-ranked team in terms of value in the world. The other sixth-ranked team in terms of value in the world, tied with the Patriots, are our hometown team out here at the El Pacifico, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
The Dodgers?
Yes. The L.A. Dodgers are worth $1.4 billion. Frank McCourt sold the team in April through a bankruptcy court-led auction to Guggenheim Baseball for $2 billion. The deal included an additional $150 million to create a joint revenue with McCourt on the parking lots and the land around Dodger Stadium. The new ownership group includes L.A. Laker Magic Johnson, former president of the Atlanta Braves and Washington Nationals Stan Kasten, and film producer Peter Guber. Do you know him, Margaret?
Wasn't he the one that did... Barbara Streisand's hair. Isn't that who that is?
I don't know.
Well, there was a hairdresser, and Barbara Streisand fell in love with him, and that's all he needed. He got his mitts on her money. He started producing films. Then she dumped him, or he dumped her. But now he's a big shot. But at the very beginning, he was doing women's hair. And if you're talking Peter Guber, let's be honest. At the very, very beginning, he was doing some old lady's hair in a salon.
Why are you smiling?
The success story is marvelous.
Well, I don't know if Peter Goober is the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, it is. Peter Goober is the guy that did an old lady's hair.
Yeah, you're just saying that, man. You don't know.
Shut up, bud. All right, so Peter Goober and the partners financed most of the deal. The new group paid a record price for the franchise based on an impending new local TV deal. It's expected to be worth more than $3.5 billion in cash and equity. Number six, the Dodgers and the Patriots on this list of the most valuable sports franchises. Moving on now to number five of the most valuable teams in all of sports. This is the slowest thing, man.
That's your iPhone.
Is it really? Yes, it's my iPhone.
I'm just trying to help, Phil.
The number fifth most valuable team in all of sports, guess who? The Washington Redskins. Woo!
Yeah, I'm a district, man.
The Redskins are worth $1.56 billion. They're owned by Daniel Snyder. The Redskins have made the playoffs only 3 times since Dan Snyder bought the team in 1999. But who cares? That hasn't stopped the fans from flocking to FedEx Field and making the Skins the fifth most valuable team in recent in all of sports and making them very profitable in recent years. The Skins paid a king's ransom in April for 3 first-round draft picks and second-round draft choices in a trade with the St. Louis Rams for the right to select, you got it, Robert Griffin, and now he has a knee injury. All right.
Yeah, he'll get better, though.
Well, he will get better. All right, and then moving on, we got to get out of this bit. Number four on the list of the most valuable franchises, the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, who are actually tied at number three with another team, the Cowboys master, Jerry Jones. They've attracted the NBA All-Star, the actual Jerry Jones is the master salesman. He's attracted the NBA All-Star game, the Super Bowl, the Manny Pacheco fight, soccer matches, concerts, and more to the Cowboys' new stadium since the $1.2 billion venue opened in 2009. So that stadium has brought a lot of money to the Dallas Cowboys.
That's the French, yes.
The Cowboys. All right, we'll be right back with numbers. Well, the other team tied with the Cowboys on up to number one of the most valuable sports franchises in the world on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dallas Cowboys.
You said I like kebab.
Yes, but it's not...
Well, you do say it like kebab, the Dallas Cowboys.
But it's not kebab.
Phil Hendry.
The Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. If you've got a backstage pass, you can watch our live streaming video of the show. And we are now mobile on your iPhone. We are mobile on your iPad. We are mobile on a variety of devices. The iOS stream. Yeah. And it's looking good. It's a beautiful thing. And it's just kind of, it's a, I don't know, what do you call it?
It's a milestone.
Yeah, it's a milestone of the broadcasting.
Yeah, it's a milestone of the broadcasting, Phil Hendry Show. We also, of course, have available to you, as well mobile as otherwise, our archives, which go back over a decade, close to 5,000 hours of archived radio material. And our radio show is universally recognized as one of the groundbreaking and one of the funniest in the history of, and funny not just in the material that we do on the air, but also funny that we just, how did we get away, why are we here? It's funny that Phil Hendry got away with this for the years that he did. All right, so what we're doing here is we're looking at the most valuable sports franchises. Harvey Weierman is joining us now from his offices in San Marino, California. You just left, Harvey. It's good to have you with us to talk about this. You've done a few sports deals over the years, have you not, Harvey?
I did the deal that eventually concluded the stadium deal between the Pittsburgh I forget the name, but it was a team, the Pittsburgh Paddle Pigs in a Poe. I forget the name, but they.
What sport did they play?
I forget the sport. It was, they're on ice skates.
Hockey.
Yes, it was the, what are they?
They're the Pittsburgh Penguin.
Well, not the Penguin, man, it's the Penguins.
The Pittsburgh Penguin. And
no, the Penguins.
It's the Penguins.
Well, no, this is the Pittsburgh Penguin, then. Is that different?
I'm sure it was the Pittsburgh Penguins.
No, it was a team called it was called a Pittsburgh Penguin.
No, I'm sure, all right, well.
I'm just telling you what I know. Now, and they were on skates.
That's hockey. There's a hockey team in Pittsburgh called the Pittsburgh Penguins.
All right, no, you've said that. The team that I negotiated on behalf of was called a Pittsburgh Penguin.
A team?
Yes, a team. Am I stuttering?
Well, all right, Harvey, I don't know.
All right, well, they had ice skates.
Okay, it was the hockey team.
No, how many times have I got to tell you it wasn't the hockey team?
Was it figure skating?
I think it was figure skating, yeah.
What?
Phil, let me ask you a question, and I think your audience would agree. Have you got a hard time with the ears? Is there something going on? Do you need to clean out wax?
No, I don't need to clean out wax. You're on the show here telling me that you negotiated a stadium deal.
That's exactly correct.
For a sports franchise that skates called a Pittsburgh Penguin.
That's exactly right. Not the Pittsburgh Penguins, not plural like Dick Men said.
Good thing you finished that out, man, because.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you're going to call me a name.
All right, take it easy.
Well, I almost did. And it was a Pittsburgh band. I believe it was a figure skating team.
Wow, how do you, I don't understand that. I've never heard of a figure skating team.
Well, you know what, Phil? Consider this to be the night that you've heard of a figure skating team. Because they didn't play hockey. They were on skates. And I swear on my mother's grave. On my mother's grave. All right? And I know exactly where that is. It's in my backyard. Now do you understand?
Okay.
All right. That it was called a Pittsburgh Penguin. or it was a Pittsburgh Penguin night. You know what it was? It was called a Pittsburgh... Oh, I was looking at that. Let me see. Judy, bring me that program. Maybe it was the hockey team.
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm trying to... What is this? The program from when was this? All right, so this is the Pittsburgh Penguin night for you and the family. Okay, it was the Penguins. It was the hockey. Yeah.
Well, why did you say it was figure skating?
Who am I speaking with now?
Hey, don't worry about it. Why did you say figure skating?
Well, Margaret, if that's you, your voice changed.
It's Phil. Why did you say figure skating?
Because I thought it was, Phil.
Well, you were so adamant that it was not hockey. You said, no, it isn't hockey.
I didn't think it was hockey because I didn't think it was the Pittsburgh Penguins. It was a Pittsburgh Penguin. And now I realize I was taking that from an advertising line in a program.
So it was the hockey team?
I believe it was, yes. And don't give me this, are you senile? Because I'm not. I'm very specific. I keep meticulous records. Where is the, in fact, Judy? Yeah, no, keep her away from me. Keep Courtney. Keep the little girl away. I don't want one. No, honey, I don't need those big bozo glasses. Oh, God, I'm going to lose it if I get those again. I've got my regular glasses. All right, look, here it is, right here. In August, blah, blah, blah. I negotiated a deal, a long-term lease between the Pittsburgh Penguins of the National Hockey League and the downtown arena. And I can't give you the details because that's confidential. But I will tell you, Phil, that these deals can be very, very lucrative.
Yeah, if you can remember the team you're doing it for.
Why don't you shut up? You know something? You get to be my age, you'll understand, all right?
If I get to be your age, Mr. Wireman, I don't want to be your age.
Get a load of what that idiot just said. If he gets to be my age...
I heard what he said.
Can I finish? If he gets to be my age, he doesn't want to be my age. What do you think's going to happen? Someone's going to wave a magic wand over you and make you all of a sudden... Jeez, what a moron.
Well, don't, you know, Mr. Wildman, I respect you, but, you know, you had that wrong. You should admit that.
Yeah, I admit I was wrong.
Oh, there you go. Well, thank you. So it was the Pittsburgh Penguins, it was the hockey team, and they are called the Pittsburgh Penguins, not a Pittsburgh Penguin.
Yeah, because you thought that's what it was.
I thought that's what it was because on the program it said a Pittsburgh Penguin night.
Yeah, I understand. You misread some advertising as the name of the team.
I'm very specific, Phil.
I don't know how, I've never, you know, I just don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you could say it's a Pitt. I've never heard of a team called a Pittsburgh Penguin.
Never heard of a team called a pig because there is no such team. What are you, stupid or something?
No, I'm not stupid.
Have you ever heard of a drink called a Pittsburgh Penguin?
No, I haven't.
Well, guess what? There is one because I just made it up, and I'm going to make one.
What's in it?
I don't know yet, but I want to make a point. I want to prove a point to you that you never say, don't say never.
Never.
No, that's not what I mean. Don't ever say never. Don't ever say never.
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 What are they doing?
What are you guys doing?
Dad, don't ever say never.
Well, then why are you saying never? Because he said don't ever say never. I just said never, so what's the downside?
The downside is that you're an idiot. That's the downside. What I'm saying is never say never because you...
Never.
Can I finish?
Would you shut...
You never say never because... You forget it. I'm so...
All right, so that's caller... How many have we had hanging up tonight?
I think all three of your guests have hung up.
You guys are causing me more and more problems. You, Robert, you, Bud, you guys are a liability now. You know what that means?
Mm-mm.
It means I'm going to get rid of you. I'm going to get rid of you. I'm going to fire you off of this show. I'm going to get rid of you. We're going to go back to doing things completely different. Because you guys are now costing me guests. They're hanging up. They're getting pissed.
Dad, never say never.
If he said never say never, why did you say it?
Well,
why did you say it?
Because I wanted to see if something would happen.
If something would happen if you say never.
Yeah, you say never, I'm thinking, all right, well, there must be something that would happen if say never.
And what if it was really bad? What if a baby died? What if babies were killed every time you said the word never? See?
Phil, are you...
Will you just let me do this? So if he said never say never, and you guys go, never, 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 because you wanted to see what happened, what if the thing that happened was every time you said never, babies were slaughtered somewhere in the world?
Well, I mean, what do you mean slaughtered?
They were just hundreds of babies died.
But like what? Put them in a...
Put them in a wood chipper?
Will you just... Well, let me do... Forget about how, just that babies died.
I wouldn't want to say it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it.
So maybe if he said never say never, he was saying don't say never because babies might get slaughtered. And you idiots, because you just want to see what's going to happen, not thinking of the consequences, you just slaughtered a bunch of babies.
Well,
No. There's no going back on it now.
I didn't...
No, you slaughtered babies. You said never. How many times did you say never?
I didn't mean...
No, how many times did you say never?
Probably about five.
Five times babies were butchered alive in this country and all around the world.
I didn't mean to do it.
You didn't mean to do it, but you did it, didn't you?
Can't you get them back?
What do you mean, get them back? Do I look like I can raise the dead?
It wouldn't be... You're going to raise the dead.
You're not raising them that far.
What do you mean I'm not raising them that far?
They're not that tall. If you raise them up...
Get out of here before I kick ass. They're not that tall.
That's all I'm saying, man, if they're going to stand up.
Babies can't walk, can they?
Maybe. If you can raise the dead, maybe you can make a baby walk.
Like earlier.
Get out of here. We'll be right back. We have an interesting story about a diamond heist. I'm losing, there's no blood in my head now. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
We were laughing whenever it was last week or the week before when North Korea produced a film, a phony film of New York City in smoldering ruins as the result of something, a nuclear attack. I think they were trying to sell this to their people. But of course, we were laughing. But I just saw, and forgive me for not really being up to speed on this, because every time I see the words Red Dawn, I think of the Patrick Swayze one, you know.
No, this was a new one.
Yeah, I didn't know. And Red Dawn was remade. Which to me is the same as producing a movie with a little train set that makes it look like New York is burning. I mean, who cares, you know?
Yeah, the North Koreans was invading.
Oh, the North Koreans were invading, huh? Well, there's... Now that is... I can buy that premise. That's even more believable than Cuba invading. Cuba invading and taking over America. Because that was the original Red Dawn.
The original Red Dawn... No, the original Red Dawn was Cuba and... Russia.
Yes, the Soviet Union, you're right.
Yeah, the Soviet Union and Cuba. In the new Red Dawn, I think it's China, you know, and North Korea.
Well, whatever. I mean, it's preposterous. It's preposterous.
Why do you say it's preposterous? I mean, why wouldn't it?
I think it's a very daunting. I think we have established that, and this was frankly something that the Japanese actually considered invading the United States. The Japanese considered invading the United States. Even the Germans didn't consider invading the United States. All the Germans wanted to do was just wreak all kinds of havoc over here. They wanted to blow up buildings and stuff. But to actually invade, the Japanese considered it and realized that it was nigh onto an impossible task. And it's often quoted that one of the ministers, it might even have been Yamamoto himself, the admiral, said, you know, every American owns a gun, that kind of thing. Well, that wasn't really the biggest concern of the Japanese. The biggest concern of the Japanese was the sheer size of the country. And geographically, where Japan is located, it would be a west-to-east invasion. So there was this enormous amount of geography to conquer before you even got to the major population centers. Just, it's impossible. Now, this, of course, was during a time when paratroopers and airborne troops were just beginning to be used. World War II. But even if they'd had airborne troops proficient, developed, and say, I don't know how many you could possibly train, you know, but you'd have to have tens of thousands. Where the hell are you going to drop that? I mean, what do you think you're going to do, man?
Well, what about the fact because the soldiers, the American soldiers were over there and the Japanese would be here. So they'd be...
Yeah, they'd miss them. The Americans go over and invade, or not invade, but they're over like in Guadalcanal. in Guadalcanal.
Yeah.
And they're there, and a Japanese snuck around and came in here.
What about that? I don't know what you mean by the Japanese snuck around.
Well, if the Japanese are invading here and our soldiers went over to the Guadalcanal, then we're there and they're here.
I don't think either of the militaries are that stupid. That what?
It's possible.
No, it's not pot. There'd be too many troops here to defending our country. Even if we had just a reserve force in the United States, yeah, they stood no chance. There's not a chance in hell, man. Look what happened to the Germans when they tried to invade Russia. Do you think anything different would happen if somebody tried to invade the United States? And the double problem is you've got these two enormous oceans. So anyone trying to invade this country needs some kind. You got to have airborne, and you've got to have amphibious or some kind of navy that will allow you to do it. And if somebody said to me, okay, Mr. Hendry, you have the, let's say, the Chinese army, okay?
Yeah, the Chinese army, they'd do it in an instant.
No, they wouldn't, just because they're Chinese.
It's not about them being Chinese, it's the numbers of people.
Well, them being Chinese, too, would help, because they're smarter.
Oh, are they smarter? Let me just ask something, man. I'm in charge of the Chinese forces, and they say, Hendry, it's your job to invade America. What's the first thing you can do? The first thing I'm thinking of doing is pummeling the country with all kinds of nuclear weapons.
Well, let's say you couldn't use nuclear weapons. They forbade that.
Oh, they forbade it.
What's that mean?
They forbade it.
Forbade.
It means they didn't allow it.
Why wouldn't they allow it?
Well, it's possible Chinese would say, we don't want to drop nuclear weapons because that would be a cluster, you know. I mean, if you'll pardon the expression, the fallout would be just, you know.
Well, the public relations fallout.
But I would still just use all kinds of, I would use the air thing, man. I would bomb the hell out of every single airfield, every single place where there is any kind of ICBM capability. I would just, that's the first thing I'd do. And it would probably take, if it took a month, I don't know how long it would take. But wherever the hell the troops were going to go in, I'd bomb the hell out of that. Then the next thing you use is airborne troops. And maybe with some amphibious, but you use airborne.
What does that mean?
Means they're up in the air?
Yeah, it means they're up in the air. What does it mean?
Well, they can't fly.
Who said they know how to fly? Hey, do we got a break, Dan? Oh, we're good. I'm looking at the wrong clock here. It says 52. We already took a break?
Oh, my God, he's having a stroke.
I'm not having a stroke.
We just took the break.
Okay. Let's talk to General Galen Shaw. He is on the line here, and we'll get a little bit of the strategy involved in what you do when it is an operation the size of invading an America. I don't think that we've ever really talked about that. General Shaw, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing very well, and a very pleasant good evening to you and to everyone out there.
Hey, General Shaw, it's Bud Dickman.
Bud, how are you?
This is Robert, General Shaw.
Robert, very good to talk with you, and Margaret Gray.
Yes, General, what we're talking about is, if the Chinese invaded America, how would they do it?
Well, it certainly is something that is conceptualized down through the years at the very highest levels of the United States military. As you might imagine, Margaret, and Phil, and Robert, and Bud, and all of the people at home, this is the job of the planning boards of each of the armed forces. Now, we have war books. And what a war book is, it is the contingent plan of attack or defense for all of the regions of the world. Here in the United States, of course, we have a war book for the United States. If the Chinese were to try to invade the United States, the thing that I would do is I would... It's difficult to imagine this, and it's difficult for me not to be emotional, but I'd wipe them out. I would wipe them out before they even tried anything so stupid. And
But how would you wipe them out?
The Chinese invading the United States would be one of the stupidest things that they have ever... And that's a country that's done some dumb things. Can you imagine a country with supposedly very intelligent people and they've let people run them roughshod?
Well, that's... General, we're trying to find out, though, the military plan.
What's the military plan? If the Chinese were going to invade America...
I would kill every last one of them. I'd kill every yellow...
Well, General Shaw...
General, let's not...
You're asking me a very emotional question, all right? And I'd be, just to quote Christopher Walken, if these lousy yellow... It's a very...
Well, can you answer this question or not? Can you give it to us in a clinical, military, operational, you know, thing?
Yes, I can. Here is the operational plan. I'll wipe out every...
I don't think you can...
You're really emotional about this.
Yes. When it comes to China invading America, the gall. You're telling me there's going to be a half a million to a million, and quite possibly a million and a half. Okay, I'll say it. A million and a half bull haircuts coming ashore, and I'm not allowed to get angry? I will check.
General, thank you very much. We're at the end of the hour.
All right. Well, there's my plan. I'll wipe out every bull.
You got pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did.
You know, if you're in the military and you're asked a question, how would you do it? Don't get emotional. Tell us how you do it.
Well, he said he'd wipe out every bull haircut, and I want to apologize to all of our Chinese listeners listening tonight over Armed Forces, well, not Armed Forces Radio, but...
No, over on China Radio. Yeah, to all of our Chinese listeners on China Radio, we're sorry.
Phil Hendry.
I'm not sorry. I'm American. I don't care.